Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Hembo, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny today. You're wearing a Phillies jersey today.
Never better in my life is the answer to the question.
I wasn't asking how
you're
doing.
Are you doing.
I don't actually care.
I mean, I'm not sure if you care. I mean, it's just usually how you start the show. And in 5 hours,
ask you how you're doing.
Yes, I mean, this is the first time we're doing like the how are you? I'm doing good. The Phillies are playing the Braves today. It's Zach Wheeler against Spencer Strider. I'm rocking my Phillies jersey to celebrate the occasion. And Cam, I have been reliably informed that you are doing the same. Can we see Cam on our monitors here? Because I mean, we are overrun. We are awash in Philly representation on the show, and that is a beautiful thing.
Wait, decked out.
You guys are wearing different Phillies jerseys, though. Which one is cooler?
I like his better.
So let me describe the
old school
for the radio
Phillies
audience.
Jerseys.
Yeah, you have the old
awesome.
School maroon mm-hmm. Phillies jersey, and Cam has the pinstripe white. Oh no! I just saw Nick. Oh gosh.
Do you guys still have beef? Do you and Nick still have bad blood?
Nick, what jersey are you wearing right now?
Yankees won yesterday, so I'm good.
Oh, you didn't get the memo about Jersey Friday?
Well, my team played yesterday. Yesterday was our opening day.
I see. And how'd you feel about the Juan Soto experience to start?
Oh, I love it. Put us in the World Series right now.
That is an abnormal amount of colors on a button-down shirt.
He has a very multicolored button-down.
What a weird
button-down.
Shirt he's wearing
it's like
right
a, It's like a quilt with a collar. Yeah,
that is the best comparison you've ever made.
It's called fashion, Evan.
Oh, Nick, okay. Nick, who's in for Bubba today, who's at opening day, that is the single greatest comparison you have ever made. Nick, we need to get Rob to get this on social at ESPN Radio.
Quilt with a collar.
Hembo just described this as a quilt with a collar. It literally, picture everyone out there, your grandmother, and the quilt that she would have in her home when you're going to her house growing up. That amazing moment when you go to your grandparents' home and you realize this quilt can only be found here. I don't know when it was made, where it was made, but I know that I am going to enjoy throwing this quilt over me with the comfort of my family right around me. And that is what Nick, the producer, is wearing as a shirt with a collar today.
I just would have felt really nice, Nick, if you had just joined the team and done the thing and worn the jersey like Cam and I did. Because I don't want this show to be, I don't want this show to be painted as a show with Philly bias. No, 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 no. We need to make sure we add the Yankees to fully solidify our East Coast bias as a show.
Maybe we all should have worn quilts with collars in solidarity.
Yeah, and which war, Nick, was that quilt spun?
This was the Great War.
I see. That's a little bit contemporary for my liking, but I'll take it.
One sleeve is green, one sleeve is tan. His collar is a combination of green and blue. I mean, that is some shirt.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre to say the least.
Cam, you are a fashionista. You've got the big jean jacket normally with the what is it? Fur
fuzzy
on the top.
Inner lining. Yeah.
Yeah, Cam is cool. How would you rate Nick's quilt with the collar tie?
I've seen him wear this shirt a lot, so I'm used to it at this point. But hearing it described that way is pretty apt.
It's almost that's like a go-to for this guy.
Yeah, he wears it often.
Oh, this is a multiple.
He has like
a recurring.
He has like five shirts that he cycles through throughout the week. So
two grandmas, both of their quilts.
It's like whoever you know, whatever seamstress or fashion designer put it together was like blind or something. So they're just like, oh, it must be, you know, this color goes here. They're just doing it by feel.
No one would actually buy this.
Tremendous job by the TV team right now because they're doing an extreme close-up of Nick's clothing.
I don't hate it as much as you guys do, but maybe I'm just used to him wearing
it. I don't hate it. I just described it as I saw it.
It looks comfortable.
It's a conversation starter.
No, very much so. It's a good icebreaker at the bar.
Anyway, Hembo is using a baseball encyclopedia to rest his computer on today.
Mm-hmm. He's moved on from the art history book.
Look, you never know when you might need to look something up. And I want to make sure that I am going to serve our audience as well as I possibly can. And if you wind up asking me, what was Dutch Leonard's ERA in 1916, and the Wi-Fi goes out, I want to be able to quickly access what that number was.
But if you need to look that up, what are you going to rest your laptop on?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I probably need the art history book as a backup.
You need it as a backup under the desk.
That's why Cam is great. He's thinking one step ahead.
That is why Cam is great.
Triggering questions that need good answers. That is literally
actually
Cam's job.
The color of my encyclopedia is very similar to this color of the shirt. This really makes the world go round.
By the way, at ESPN Radio, Rob has already done it. Shout out to Rob Lorenzo, our social and digital guy. We have the quilt with the collar out
my
there
goodness.
For everybody to see it. Nick is not a happy
camper. He's going to get a J. Crew deal out of this. You just watch. You just wait and see.
J. Crew blanket deal. All right. Last night, NCAA tournament. Three of the four lower seeded teams, Hembo, won last night, and I hate it.
You hate it?
Oh, I hate it.
Why do you hate it?
Because I wanted North Carolina and Arizona in the Elite Eight. I don't want whatever version of Cinderella's we now have. And if you gave me Clemson and Alabama in a big game, I'm cool with Dabo and Saban. Except this is basketball. I'm sorry. I am a basketball snob when it comes to this stuff. I want blue bloods in this Elite Eight. I want them playing in this spot. And I'm not getting that. And that's, okay, I'm going to say, taking nothing away from Clemson, their second Elite Eight since 1980. Clemson has trailed for a total of 50 seconds in this tournament, okay? And Alabama's first Elite Eight since 04. They upset number one North Carolina. Grant Nelson, their big, stretches the defense. Armando Bacot has the garden from the outside. And you have to give them a ton of credit. That all said, I'm not interested in this matchup as much as I would have been in the Caleb Love Bowl of the former North Carolina player, now with Arizona, playing 1-2 in the Elite Eight in the West.
But this is the world in which we live. This is a single elimination tournament.
Yeah, and but I'd throw a quilt on that and move on. I would just move on to the next one.
The nature of the NCAA tournament is both a blessing and a curse, of course. I think that Alabama-Clemson will be a compelling game. Would it have been as compelling as UNC-Arizona? No, of course not. And I don't think it will do the same rating. But I think the beauty of this tournament is the fact that this thing can happen on a given day. And I think if we were to lose sight of that, then the tournament itself would suffer as a result. I grant you that the way that they determine the national championship in college basketball is perhaps the worst way that you could actually do it. But it is super entertaining.
Stop. Finally, we can say we're unified on something more than a quilt with a collar.
Mm.
Everyone wants to tell us how great March Madness is. It is. Since 2004, if I'm not mistaken, the best team going into the tournament has only won three times. I got that in your baseball encyclopedia. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, this is not the best way to crown a champion. It is just the most exciting way to crown a champion. There is a difference in that. And so, yes, there's a level of excitement of UNC losing and Clemson coming out of nowhere with the head coach Brad Brownell that was on the hot seat going into the NCAA tournament. And now they're in Elite Eight, Alabama and Clemson, to go to the Final Four and likely get pummeled by UConn or Illinois. I mean, no respect there by me with those two. I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
That is not the best way of crowning a champ because these are not going to be two of the best four teams in America.
Okay, so I'm fine if we want to sort of howl at the moon here. And I don't fundamentally disagree with the point that you're making.
Well, it's your point.
But my follow-up would be, what adjustment would you recommend we make? Because so long as we have a 68-team field and a single elimination tournament like this, these things are going to happen basically every year. So are you interested in modifying the tournament or just annually complaining about it?
Yeah, I actually, daily complaints is really my that's how I got here at ESPN. I just complain a lot about a lot of different things, and somehow I complained my way up, which is a remarkable accomplishment by me.
Yeah, it's like failing your way up, complaining your way up.
Yeah, it's complaining my
way up. Kind of like that.
No, but I don't have a better solution. What I would like is a better label for this. That's all I'm asking for. Because I'm not deeming this a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just deeming this incorrectly labeled. This is not the best possible way to crown a champion. I am not someone that looks at college football and says we need more teams in a playoff. I love the BCS, as crazy as that sounds, because you get the best and the second best every year but one.
How do you feel about the expansion that we've seen in professional sports leagues? Do you favor the formats that we have there? No one's taking away games from their postseason because you're just electing to lose money if you do that.
Right, and I understand that. I totally get that. It's not that I'm anti that. Again, to me, it's about the labeling of this. Let's not sit there and say that this is the best way of crowning a champion.
Do you favor the way that the NBA does? The NBA is your favorite sport, right? Your favorite league.
Well, everyone's favorite league is the NFL. So in addition to.
Yes.
Right? Yours in addition to is Major League Baseball.
Fair enough. So, I mean, 20 teams. are eligible for the postseason in the NBA.
It's a lot.
Granted, you're playing best of seven series once you qualify for it, which is the biggest difference. So best I can tell, you like the format that we have in terms of the NCAA tournament. All you think is unfair is the way that we sort of over-prioritize it and label it as a national champion, whereas what you're saying is the winner of this thing won an exhibition tournament. Wasn't actually the best team.
Right, because if you're going to say, all right, let's take the four best teams and place them in Phoenix in a week, would Alabama and Clemson be there?
Neither would be.
Right, so they're one of them will become one of the four hottest teams in America.
But is that not part of the magic?
It is. Again, I'm talking about the labeling. Let's not say that the NCAA tournament on the basketball side is the best way of crowning a champion.
So what's the best way then to evaluate a program, the best way to evaluate a coach, the best way to evaluate a multi-year player? Is it prolonged regular season success? Is it intra-conference dominance? Is it NCAA tournament success over a 3 or 4 year period of time? What is the best answer to that question?
I think they're all good answers in there. And I think if you look at the other two teams that won, obviously UConn won last night. They are the best program in America right now. They won a championship last year, and it becomes unbelievably surprising if they don't win a championship this year. We're talking about a team that beat the team that was a national runner-up last year in San Diego State by 30 points last night after being up only 9 at the half. Their margin of victory is 28.7 points per game, and over the last two NCAA tournaments, last year and this year, they have won 9 games, all of them by double-digit points. Whatever it is you want to say that UConn is the mark of success and the greatest version of success we are looking at. But also Illinois, I mean, has been very good, right? And Terrence Shannon Jr. last night in 29 points, had 25 points for 3 straight games in the NCAA tournament. They go out there and beat a higher-seeded team in Iowa State. I think you need to be great, but also you need to sustain greatness, which is harder today in college basketball because people transfer all the time.
Okay, so let's say UConn goes on here, runs the table, wins the national championship again, doing it in back-to-back seasons in this ridiculously hard-to-do-it-in format without having like a top five, like NBA stud lottery type pick on either roster. Where would you stack what Hurley is done?
They had a lottery pick last year.
I mean, he was the 14th pick in the draft. Said top five for that reason. Oh. They have another lottery pick in this year's, but what I'm saying is this is not like a Coach Cal 2015 Kentucky team with lottery picks up and down the roster. I think Dan Hurley right now is coaching college basketball about as well as I've seen anybody coach college basketball. I mean, it was Billy Donovan who was the last one to win back-to-back, but that team was littered with NBA talent. And with how the world is flattened now and the way that you have to sort of pick and choose the way that you build your program, whether it be externally, whether it be but transfers guys coming up as UConn has done successfully in addition to the player development stuff, I think it's hard to say right now that anyone in the sport is approaching what Hurley is doing.
UConn was in the zone last night, that's for sure. Get in the zone, brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. You bring up an interesting point. Let's hear Jay Williams, ESPN basketball analyst from Get Up, on Danny Hurley.
We might be talking about one of the greatest coaches to ever live in the game of college basketball. I think that is what's on the line right now here. If you're talking about him winning back-to-back championships at this stage of his career, being that young with, like as Seth said, two completely different rosters in the span of 2 seasons.
Yeah.
One of the most dominant coaches to ever coach the game. Think about how many coaches have 2.
Yeah.
Like, and he's going to have 2 in back-to-back years. That's where we're going with Dan Hurley if they can close the deal.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing because if you look at what he's done, I've been asking the question, I asked it this morning on Sportsman, like 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, where you hear me normally with Michelle Smallman and Chris Canty, is there going to be a formula? Because if you think about it for years, and I know Christian Laettner was on with you yesterday and laughing up a storm with you guys. Duke had a formula of no one-and-dones and no transfers for a long period of time, and it worked, in a huge way. Coach Cal at Kentucky had a formula for a long period of time of we'll take the best talent that is available to us for as long as they want to join us. Mixed results relative to college success. No mixed results when it's relative to NBA success. I'll take a Coach Cal coach player in the NBA any day of the week. I won't take a Coach Cal team in college, though, right? So is there going to be, I will answer your question with the question, always the best way of doing it, of course, is there going to be a formula now where we're going to see within a 10-person rotation of, well, you need 5 upperclassmen, guaranteed. You need a couple of transfers. You need a couple of freshmen. I do wonder if these coaches are going to look at it and say, what has Danny Hurley done? How have they built those teams? How do they get those players to stay? Because I think one of the keys in having culture is the coach not having to institute it. It's the players. And the only way the players can institute the culture is if they stay there for a long period.
You know what that sounds like to me? Professional sports. You pick and choose. You get some guys in the draft. You trade for some. You sign some in free agency. And you rely on player leadership to enable you to enact that culture and hope that you have sustainability on your coaching staff. That sounds to me a lot like what the NBA is.
Let me ask you a question. If you had the choice, if you're a college program right now, you're a blue blood college program, you can choose to have Cooper Flagg, number one high school player in America, or you could have the top sophomore at a mid-major that is 6'7", could play multiple positions and average 20 points a game this year, and has 2 years of eligibility left.
I'm taking B. I always prefer what's closer to a sure thing, and it's so difficult.
What do you deem to be a sure thing, the player or the team results?
The player, because the proof of concept is there that this guy can play at a high level in college basketball. It's so difficult for freshmen to have a big-time impact in the sport. It rarely happens anymore. Like, the Zion Williamsons of the world rarely come along. I would rather have the experienced player, the player who's already cut his teeth, the player who has already developed, who is already stronger than a high school student-athlete type. That's the player that I want, and those are the kinds of players, I think, that are going to end up making the biggest difference in this world of college basketball.
So you're looking at Duke next year with a player like Cooper Flagg and saying, that's great, we're going to talk about you a ton. I don't expect you to be playing deep into the NCAA tournament if that's the makeup of the entirety of your team.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
But the old days is you get Cooper Flagg, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
The new era is you get Cooper Flagg and you find the best player on Oakland to pair with Cooper Flagg.
That's exactly right.
It's a different world that we are living in college basketball.
Is.
But that's why some of these teams are Alabama and Clemson, from a basketball perspective, are not getting the players that Kentucky would get, but they're still playing. That was a very serious conversation you and I had. Wow.
Well done.
Well done.
Let's throw a
lighten up, guys.
Let's throw a quilt with a collar on that one if we could. Man, oh man. All right, you want to get some early sneaky Hembo trivia?
I do a group trivia question. Enough of this basketball nonsense. Nick, you're here today. The Yankees last won the World Series in 2009, as you well know. Since 2009, there are 5 major league teams that have won more postseason games than the Yankees have. And for group trivia, you're going to give me all 5 teams that have won more playoff games than the Yankees since they last won the World Series. That's the question.
We will get to that next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, presented by Progressive Insurance.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
Greeny, the podcast.
Wow, okay, and how are your trivia skills?
This is Sneaky Himbo Trivia.
Regular sneaky or extra sneaky?
It is Greeny on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Hembo. Evan Cohen in for Greeny today. We do have Sneaky Hembo Trivia. You're right. You seem a little thrown off over there.
I am a little thrown off. I had a tough time in the break dealing with a couple pranksters, as it were, in our studio. But I've recovered nicely, and I'm ready to now do another professional radio segment with you in which we use absolutely no humor, so Cam likes the segment. Cam, am I allowed to proceed now with the trivia question and with a straight face?
What
and
was
good
that
conscience?
All about?
I'm just a straight shooter today. I'm a straight shooter today. And the question
is
this. The Yankees last won the World Series in 2009.
Right.
That's a long time ago. Since then, since 2009, five major league teams have won more postseason games than they have. And you, for group trivia today, my friend, my friends, are going to give me all five teams.
By the way, I'm in on the friends. We are going to have lunch in a couple of weeks. We have it all kind of planned out. Dates are being determined between a couple of days that we have decided.
Three options.
Yes, we have three options. I have made the ruling with Hembo. You cannot consider someone a friend unless you at least have had a meal with them. So we are on our way to friendship in the very near future.
As an aside, does breakfast count?
I think breakfast is a meal.
But do we have to go somewhere else? Or if we shared breakfast here, would we then cross your threshold? Like, does it need
no,
to be
out of office?
It's got to be out of office.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I think most people listening would say, like, a friendship is when, with someone from work, that when you have a meal with them after your assigned hours. Because even if you go, hey, we're going to have lunch, working a 9 to 5, we're going to take our lunch break together, you would do that with anyone.
Sure.
If at 5, you then say, how about a meal? Different story.
Now we're dancing. Fair enough.
Okay. So
let's talk about sports. Hardcore sports. Cam, go. Who's your first guess?
Well, we have agreed on, what, 4 of the 5, if I'm not mistaken, Cam?
Yeah, we're kicking a bunch around. I feel like the one we're probably most confident in is the Astros. Is everyone okay with that one?
I thought the one we were most confident would be the Giants, who won 3 World Series since then. But okay, yeah, Astros it is.
Astros.
That's correct. The Astros are first with 62 postseason wins since 2010.
Okay, the others we have written down are Giants, Dodgers, Braves, Cardinals, Red Sox, Rays.
Seems like more than 5 guesses.
Who are you exactly next most That's confident in, Cam?
Because we're kicking around ideas.
So he starts to get cranked up here.
I think the Giants.
That's correct. The Giants are third with 38 postseason wins since 2010.
You know what's amazing? Just to interject one thing here. So if UConn wins a national championship this year, we're going to be talking about a college basketball dynasty, because winning 2 in a row is a dynasty.
Oh, yeah.
Basketball. It doesn't happen. The San Francisco Giants won 3 World Series in 5 years, and I don't know, within the last 15 or 10, and nobody knows this. It's remarkable what they were able to accomplish. And then, oh, by the way, Bruce Bochy's like, yeah, you know what? Let me do it again last
year. Yeah, he's ridiculously good at that job.
Unbelievable. All right, Cam, what do we have as the next one?
All right, 2 for 2 so far.
That was a good combination of a lot of different things in there. Opening day yesterday, tournament. That was good.
But no laughter, which is
Cam
perfect.
Cam will like it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Cam.
What is this thing that's happening here?
I need a serious guess.
Do we like the Dodgers? They obviously choke all the time, but they
irrelevant
have been
with
in
this,
it
with this question,
every
right?
single year. They've
right?
been in it every single year.
Yeah,
so
I think we got to do it.
We're going with the Dodgers.
That's correct. The Dodgers have 53 postseason wins since 2010. That's second, sandwiched between the Astros and the aforementioned Giants.
Cam, it's important what you just said, like about the choking in this question. Postseason wins would indicate the ability to choke.
Exactly. They get to that final game and then blow it.
Yeah, not postseason series wins, just total postseason
games.
I think the next two and the final two for me would be the Cardinals and the Red Sox. The Red Sox have won 2 World Series. The Cardinals in the early 2010s were always going to the NLCS, and I think they've been somewhat relevant pretty much throughout. So those would be the two I would say. I think the Braves, they had the World Series run, but I don't think I'm as confident in them. And same with the Rays. I think they had too many off years, the Rays. So I would say Cardinals, Red Sox, either one that we're more confident in.
Probably the Red Sox because they've won 2 World Series.
Cam, who's next in line for you in terms of confidence?
Let's go with the Sox.
That's incorrect.
Oh,
wow.
The Boston Red Sox, 29 postseason wins since then, which is 7th on this list. Disappointing.
Okay, Cardinals?
The Cardinals is correct. The Cardinals are 4th on this list with 36 playoff wins, and 5th is a team that I've not even heard you mention.
Is it the Royals?
It is not the Royals. No. Maybe you did mention them and I missed it. But number five on this list is the Texas Rangers.
I said that during the break, and they overruled me.
I completely overruled.
Yeah, shame, shame on you. 33 postseason wins for Texas.
Ron Washington, when he was the manager there, they were getting...
They went back-to-back. They went back-to-back American League pennants.
Oh, man.
And then last year, they won the World Series.
I'm aware.
In a year in which they just expanded the playoffs, and they were a wild card team.
Oh,
That's a good one, what you said there. Didn't think about it that way.
Good one.
Good job.
Good one.
That's a good boy, Hembo. You gave me something there.
All right, done with our imitations.
Oh, boy. It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. ESPN Bet is now live as the official sportsbook of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all of your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What apply? Must be 21+ and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. All right. We are less than a month away from the NFL draft. I have what is going to come off as a big, bold statement that I don't think is at all anymore. And that is this. I think we are going to see 6 quarterbacks drafted in the top 14 of the NFL
14?
Draft.
6 quarterbacks in the lottery?
In the lottery.
Wow. Do tell.
I will. Thanks for asking, Hembo. Okay. So if we play out the draft... Let's do a no-trade first round.
Okay.
Okay? So here's... We can do a group trivia style, so to speak.
Love that.
Just not with Nick, who's wearing a collared quilt.
And didn't participate in group trivia, if you didn't notice.
He did.
I did participate.
We ignored him.
I
didn't.
And I shot down
totally ignored him.
I didn't hear much from you, Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah, his one contribution was saying no to the Rangers.
I'd say it again.
Yeah. Easy, quilt boy.
Okay. The Chicago Bears, why is my microphone twisting every single time I'm... Look at this.
Oh, wow.
Right? Every time I put it near me, it makes a turn.
It looks like it's one of those sprinklers in your backyard that's automatic. And it just, you know, how it spins and then...
I actually think it's upside down, actually. Anyway. All right.
Why were you able to do that sound so well?
I don't know, actually. I was doing
dude, let me hear your sprinkler.
Pretty good, right?
Pretty good.
Does that sound like a sprinkler?
Well, as opposed to?
I don't know. Just the sound you're making. Shout out True Green, by the way, for all of your lawn care needs. I've been using them forever. And TrueGreen.com for more information on that, by the way. All you need to do is mow and water your lawn. They'll take care of the rest. All right.
Are you trying to get sponsored by them?
They literally sponsor our show in the morning. So thanks, Cam.
They don't sponsor this show.
Just shush. Okay. Anyway. Here. Chicago Bears. Caleb Williams.
Quarterback. For sure.
Right? Brian Kelly, head coach at LSU, kind of told us that Washington's going to take Jaden Daniels, right?
Either way, they're taking a quarterback.
Right. New England at 3, a non-trade first round. Drake May.
You think so? I mean, you're the biggest Patriots fan that I know.
No, I'm not. But
you are one of them, certainly.
In a non-trade first round, I'm saying everybody stays where they are, they take Drake May.
I think that's right.
Okay. I don't believe Arizona's going to take a quarterback despite what Mike Tannenbaum said.
That was a bizarre take.
I think it's smart because he loves J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
And I believe that J.J. McCarthy is a better value play and maybe has more upside than Kyler Murray. And you're taking advantage of a team in Minnesota that needs a quarterback and maybe they take a flyer on Kyler Murray.
What I have no sense, though, on is how much value Kyler Murray has around the league right now. I mean, I don't know what kind of... I don't know what you could extract from another team for him. I don't know if he's like a giveaway contract or if he's actually an asset. He's a player that I just don't have a good pulse on.
Jared Goff a few years ago, basically?
Maybe so.
Like, do I have to give you a first to take him on? I don't think so.
I don't think he's there, but I'm not sure that he's getting you as much as he might think.
All right, the Chargers are not going to take a quarterback. That's obvious.
Agreed.
So now J.J. McCarthy is still available, right? And when we're getting to number 6 in this hypothetical, the odds per ESPN bet on J.J. McCarthy, -105 to go to Minnesota after being -40 for the last week or two. So you would think that Minnesota would have to jump up to get him. We're playing out a non-trade top 15, let's say. So that in that spot, I believe the Giants would take J.J. McCarthy. I pitched this to Chris Canty, former Giant, this morning, and he said absolutely he thinks they would take him.
He agrees.
Yes.
And even if we do simulate trades, if a team moves up, they're obviously doing it to take a quarterback.
Right. Okay, so number 7, I don't believe Tennessee will take a quarterback. I don't believe at number 8, Atlanta will. And I don't believe at number 9, Chicago will take a second one. That would be an interesting move. And I don't believe at 10, the Jets will.
Do you think that quarterback is in play at all for the Jets at 10?
I think it should be. I don't think it will be.
Because of job preservation? Because of the all-in nature?
Because I don't think that Aaron Rodgers will let them.
Oh, it's that simple?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think if you're going to look at past behavior as a future indicator, basically, he does not like it when you draft another quarterback. Yet, he plays much better when you do.
Maybe you should.
Interesting. So, number 11 at Minnesota. In the non-trade first round, what are they doing?
They're taking a quarterback.
Okay, and which one? Michael Penix Jr., who had a great pro day yesterday, showed off athleticism, ran a sub 4.640, had a great vertical, which I don't know why we care about a quarterback's vertical, but where would you go with number 11 then at Minnesota? Or Bo Nix?
Either or. I mean, I think
pick
that...
Pick one.
We'll say Michael Penix.
Okay.
He had a great pro day.
So now
he can
have...
jump really high for a quarterback, especially one that's had two ACL injuries.
So now we have five quarterbacks off the board, and we are at pick number 11.
And I think...
Denver is at 12.
And they'll take Bo Nix.
So now we have six quarterbacks drafted in the first 12. We didn't even need to get to 14.
And if you get to 13, Vegas could take a quarterback for
sure.
And if
you get to 14, New Orleans could as well.
That's interesting.
Because I don't know if you've seen, there's been quarterback rules that have been out there.
Yeah.
I've put them out there.
Those are a little bit above my pay grade.
Yeah.
But I have read them and tried to absorb them.
Yeah. Draft a quarterback when you want one, not when you need one.
Well, you do need one if Derek Carr is your other quarterback. But I know what you're saying.
They don't think they need one. But do you realize we just got six quarterbacks off the board by 12?
Yes. That's
you were stunned when I said top 14. We didn't even need 13 and 14 in this scenario.
It's just a difficult thought exercise for me when you say it that way, because I think generally speaking, most quarterbacks are really overdrafted. I want to circle back to something that we talked about previously, and that is how attractive a place Minnesota is. If I am any quarterback in this draft with options and with a good agent, I am trying to move heaven and earth to ensure that I wind up there. Kevin O'Connell's a 38-year-old head coach who has been extremely good in that role, and as an OC, had the Rams in the Super Bowl. Justin Jefferson's your wide receiver one. Jordan Addison's your wide receiver two. They're both under the age of 25. You've got Christian Darrisaw as your left tackle and Brian O'Neill as your right tackle. Both 28 years old or younger, both excellent players at the position. If I'm a quarterback, those are the five people in the organization that matter the most to me. The head coach, the play caller in this case, my two receivers on the outside and my two tackles. People keep talking about how attractive this Bears situation is. The Minnesota Vikings situation is where a quarterback is going to go to thrive and potentially from day one.
All right, let me flip the script on you. Let's say they can't get a quarterback. There's an argument, in my opinion, then, to actually go the exact opposite direction. Do you believe the Detroit Lions are going to be good this year?
I do.
Do you believe the Green Bay Packers are going to be good this year?
Very.
Do you think that the Chicago Bears are going to improve with the arrival of Caleb Williams?
No, I don't.
So then you'll have them at a 7-win team.
I think they have a...
Non-improving would be the same amount of wins.
Yes.
Okay, how many wins do you think the Packers will have this year?
Something like 10.
How many wins do you think the Lions will have?
Something like 11.
Okay, and then we need to find losses somewhere. Someone has to then lose.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an argument that if Minnesota does not land their quarterback, that they actually should take advantage of the fact that they didn't land a quarterback. There are very few teams that are basically trying to go in tank mode for this year and consider the idea, if they cannot work out an extension with Justin Jefferson, of potentially moving him, considering you have Jordan Addison.
Okay, so
and you have the 11th pick in the draft where you could also potentially get another one of those wide receivers. I'm just saying there is an argument to be made that if they don't get that most attractive piece that you're saying, or they become that most attractive piece, that voluntarily tearing some of it down to continue to build it back up is an argument because of the improved nature of that division.
I'm fascinated by that concept. I think the thing that could stand in their way is the fact that Justin Jefferson is a Hall of Fame talent. The idea that you would trade a player of that caliber at the age of 24 or 25, as he'll be on opening day, is very hard for me to wrap my mind around. To me, it would be no less sensible than the Cowboys trading Micah Parsons, just in terms of the asset, the talent, the age. That's how good I think Justin Jefferson is.
Yeah, but positionally, that doesn't impact winning where a pass rusher would.
You don't think wide receiver one in today's climate, an ex-receiver is going to impact winning in the NFL?
Not if you're out of your mind. Not if I don't have an elite quarterback.
Well, sure, but you can't necessarily have your cake and eat it, too. You have to obtain one of them.
QB rules. Don't pay a wide receiver to help a quarterback. Pay a quarterback to help a wide receiver.
But if you don't have a star quarterback, what you shouldn't then do is punt on the receiver position, because that player matters.
I have a first-round talent last year, and I can get a first-rounder this year.
That player matters way more if I don't have an elite quarterback. He turned Kirk Cousins into a $100 million guaranteed player. That's how good Justin Jefferson is.
Come on now.
That is steadfastly ridiculous. Kirk Cousins is an average quarterback and has always been an average quarterback until a miracle befell him when a Hall of Fame wide receiver fell in his lap, and that player got him $100 million in Atlanta.
Well, then let's see what he does with Sam Darnold this year. That'll be the test case, because I believe Kirk Cousins is better than you believe he is. And so if they don't get a quarterback, or if they want a bridge quarterback in Darnold, then let's see. But again, let's go back to the matter at hand here, which is in terms of the quarterbacks in the draft. I said it to you. I said I believe that we're going to have six quarterbacks now in the top 14. Excuse me. You were stunned. We went through the exercise. We had them placed in the top 12.
You're right.
The Vikings were the test case in this for should they tank. I'll give you the other one that's way closer to this. If the Denver Broncos do not get the quarterback that they want in the draft, they should not draft one for the sake of drafting one that they don't want. They are the obvious team to then say, okay, we didn't get player X. We really tried hard to move up to get this player. Unfortunately, we can't. Let's draft a left tackle here or a defensive player to have a player in the mix that makes sense for us for years to come. And then any veteran that is out there, let's trade off because we are not close, especially in that division where you have the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously, and I believe the Chargers are going to be excellent this year. Greeny is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're looking for a career you'll love with flexibility, great pay, benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces, come join their growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Coming up, one superstar in a new home is already living up to the hype. We'll get to that next. It's ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny on ESPN Radio, along with Hembo, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny today. If you're dealing with a dead battery, head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like battery testing and battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not, or if you're in need of a fresh charge. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can help with that too. And they're the only place you can find proven, tough, Duralast battery. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination.
I'm ready to go right now.
Green light, green light with Greeny.
Give me the green light.
Why are you winking at me, Hembo?
Because that was like my cue, like you can tee me up now.
I know. I've done this before.
You don't need a seductive wink?
I mean, I'll always take one, but
who among us?
But for this specifically, Hembo, you have the three top opening day observations.
I'm glad you asked.
Oh, stop with the hand pushing at me.
You prefer no nonverbals?
No nonverbals.
Okay, number three. Juan Soto is going to live up to all the hype this season for the Yankees. We got to watch yesterday on opening day just the full Juan Soto experience. 1-for-3 with an RBI single, a pair of walks, and of course he gunned down the potential game-tying run at the plate in the ninth inning to secure a win over the Astros, a team that the Yankees basically never beat. Nick, turn on your mic because I want to ask you this as it relates to Juan Soto's impact on the lineup and specifically Aaron Judge.
Nick, turn off your mic because I don't want to hear your answer.
Over the previous two seasons, Aaron Judge has 99 home runs. How many of those 99 home runs do you believe were solo home runs?
I'd say north of 50.
64. of Aaron Judge's 99 homers over the previous two seasons.
You know what my previous quarterback rule mentality tells me? Nobody was on base for those.
No one.
Nobody.
Was on base. He was circling those bases all by himself. Juan Soto reached base three times yesterday. Juan Soto is going to have a magnificent season hitting in front of Aaron Judge. And that tandem, should they remain healthy, have about as good a chance as any since Maris and Mantle to go ape and hit, I'd say, 90, 95, even 100 homers.
Can I throw a little cold water on this?
Please.
Cole is out at least 2 months.
Mm-hmm. June 1st is the date he's going with now.
LeMahieu is out now. Stanton is what Stanton is, which is an unknown.
Out soon.
And at some point, the non-winning, if that happens, combined with the pending free agency of Soto and the uncertainty around manager and general manager, in my mind, creates, I don't want to say circus, but I will say more questions than answers.
I don't disagree with the word that you just said. All I observed yesterday was that Juan Soto in a Yankee uniform and the impact he's going to have in that lineup is going to be astronomical. Do I think that team is well-rounded? No. Do I think that team is shallow? Yes. I don't know if the Yankees are going to make the playoffs, but it certainly isn't going to be because Juan Soto didn't pick up his end of the bargain.
All right, next one.
Number two is that the Orioles have not had a pitcher as good as Corbin Burns since they had Mike Mussina. Mike Mussina's in the Hall of Fame. And Corbin Burns, I'm not saying he's going to the Hall of Fame, but in a contract year, pitching in a very pitcher-friendly ballpark in Baltimore, he's going to shove, and he's going to be a big reason why that team has a real chance to go to the World Series. Yesterday, he faced 19 hitters. He got 18 of them out. He struck out 11 of them. Right now, he's the co-favorite to win the American League Cy Young Award. And last season, the postseason, the Orioles were a 100-win team. But their starters allowed 13 runs in 8 innings against Texas in the American League Division Series. It was the reason they did not advance. Having Corbin Burns atop that rotation, pitching across or opposite a ridiculously young and talented Orioles lineup, that's going to be an extremely exciting team that might not win as many regular season games as it did last year, but I think has a much better chance of advancing in October.
And I want Cam to jump in on this in a second, but I also think that's one of those franchises that you forget how many great pitchers they had historically.
Mm.
They had, a year in the 70s where they had 420-game winners,
they
if I'm
did.
Not mistaken?
Mm-hmm.
Jim Palmer being one of them. I know you probably don't care about wins and losses for pitchers.
Overrated. But in the 70s, those guys actually pitched, so
right.
It's more meaningful then.
Right. I care a lot
Dave
about...
Dave McNally.
I care about team win-loss and games a starter pitches in.
That's a great stat.
And so the Orioles historically have had really good pitchers, just not recently. Yes, Cam.
I like the cool guy lingo that Hembo has been using. Juan Soto and Aaron Judge are going to go ape. And Corbin Burns is going to shove. So I'm excited to find out what the next list.
I've been trying to.
That's lit.
I've been trying to let my hair down, for lack of a better term.
Could you
You're
actually
going ape
do that?
Today.
I actually used to have really long hair.
Me too.
But I think it would pain you to see.
I've seen your baseball pictures.
It's much longer than that.
So I used to have really long hair, and I was once decent looking. That's now out the window. Next one.
Only one of those things is easy to believe. The last one is this. It's no surprise, but I think the Dodgers' big three is just going to overwhelm their opponent all season long. Yesterday, Mookie, Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman combined for 5 hits, 6 runs, and 12 total bases in a blowout win over the Cardinals. I predicted it before. I will remain saying that those three guys will finish 1-2-3 in the National League MVP voting if they combine for, say, 450 games. Even though Ohtani's in a DH, I think he's going to mash. Mookie Betts is my MVP favorite, and Freddie Freeman is a metronome. He is as productive and as consistent as any hitter in baseball, plays every single day. I'm not so sure that team 1-25 is as good as Atlanta, but at the top of that order, they're going to have the best trio, I think, since the Big Red Machine.
All right, two arguments within one here, or two pieces of this conversation, I should say. To me, I have a belief that if Ohtani pitches and hits, that he's automatically the MVP, and you actually have no right to vote for anyone else. And I'm being dead serious.
I mean, that's not going to be the case this year.
No,
but of course,
I'm saying... But in normal years, when you actually just listen to the words and spell out MVP, most valuable player, a guy that is a starting pitcher and in the middle of your lineup or top of your lineup, there cannot be more value there. That's number one. Number two, in terms of the most valuable players, 1, 2, and 3. Yesterday, they were 5-for-8, 4 RBI, sorry. 2 homers, 4 walks, and 6 runs scored. That's pretty good.
You're going to be monsters. Do you know the last team to have MVPs 1, 2, 3 in the voting?
No, but let's get to that coming up. Put a pin in that, as you would say.
So this is what we like to call in the industry a tease.
Well done.
A tease.
The industry.
A radio professional. Am I going to toss the break right now?
You're going ape today.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
I'm going ape today.
I'm out.
I'm just saying all sorts of like random baseballisms to see what sticks, and Cam seems to be picking up what I'm putting down. Now you're just going to leave me out on an island here. Yep. Coming up next, I'm going to tell you the most ridiculous thing that you've ever heard in your life about the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.